So good morning. So the topic of my lesson this morning is influence. What is influence? Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Influence has that impact. In our world today, there are many peoples and products that influence other people. When we sit and watch television, listen to the radio, when we sit and do those things and read the newspaper, we are being influenced. There are many slogans that tends to stick in our minds. And the advertisements that we see sometimes influence us to go out and buy these products. Influence is a great advertisement because that more people see and hear those slogans, they have a tendency to go out and purchase those things. What about those slogans that sometimes catch our thoughts, our minds on television? One I can think of. The insurance slogan, Allstate. Those slogans like that sometimes sticks in our brain. But what about the slogan of Jesus Christ? What about that slogan? It said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But one good thing about that, that slogan, that costs nothing. That's there because God loves you so much that he gave his only son that you can have eternal life. That slogan is free. That's something that he gave us because he loved us that much. What if Christ had that impact on the world today? What if Christ had that same impact? Where all the people, everybody in the world, looked up to Jesus and said, I want to be like Christ. I want to be saved. Everybody looked up to Jesus and said, I want that salvation. This would be a wonderful world, wouldn't it? This will be a world that God could be proud of. That God know that we are with him. God know that we love him. These individuals want to imitate God. That's wonderful. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Even in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, whoever says that he abide in him ought to walk in the way in which he walked. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, henceforth, there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give you in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And again in John 14, verse 1 to 3, it said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whom have you influenced? Whom have you influenced for Christ? Influence is what? Have you influenced anybody recently? How can you influence? What are those characteristics that you should have to influence people? That love, that spirit that you should have. The spirit of what? Forgiveness. Self-control, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you have those attributes? That's one way that we can influence other people. By those fruits that we bear. Those fruits that we show. Influence is something that we all possess. We all have that. Capable of influencing others. Even when you're strong, you're weak, you're poor, you're rich. You have that influence. That's just like everyone has a soul. Where does that soul go? Does that soul continue to live? That influence that we have. In Romans 14:7, it says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Said it is impossible for us not to have some type of influence. Like I said, it might be a good influence, or it could be a bad influence. What is that good influence? What is that good influence? That influence where we help other people who are in need. That show that good influence. Those that exhibit that good influence, they do all that they can to let their light shine, that others can see Christ in them. What is it, for instance, like what? Matthew 25:35-40. "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then the righteous answered and saying, "Lord, when have we seen you in this way? When have we seen you hungry? When have we seen you thirsty? When have we seen you naked? When have we seen you in prison?" And the Lord answered and said, "When you have done it unto the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me." That's that good influence. What about that bad influence? Do we have bad influence? We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school. That influence is the exact opposite of what I just read. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it tells us, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this life, in this body, according to that which he has done, whether it's good or bad." Can we recall the times that we exhibit those things? I know people go out and help others, go out and feed others, give them clothes, clean their houses, do great things for those people. They show that good influence. But some of us could care less. I can't say it. I guess some people could care less. Some people are selfish. Some people only care about themselves. Yeah. They don't care about others. Jesus isn't that way. Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus loved everyone. Jesus cared about those individuals who didn't care about themselves. Man. Jesus said, "I came as a servant, not to be served." But some of us don't want to be servants. We want to be served. We have that arrogant feeling sometimes, or that feeling that I'm above that. I'm above you. I'm not going to be no servant. I want you to come and serve me. Jesus said, "You're either with me or you against me. Matthew 12 and 30 said, he that is not with me, he is against me. He that gathereth not with me, he scatters abroad. Jesus influenced the people around him every day. That's the type of individual Jesus was. That's the type of God Jesus was. He influenced people every day. Even when he walked the street, they looked at him, and they were influenced. Don't let him do a miracle. That definitely influenced them. That's like the Beatitudes when he was up on the mountain, and he gave that sermon. They were influenced. They were influenced by what Jesus said, because he spoke as one with authority and not as the scribes. You see, Jesus was an individual that knew your heart. He knew what you were thinking before you thought it. That's when he would trap the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They would try to trap him. But Jesus knew before they got there what they were going to ask. That's like a woman that had seven husbands, seven brothers. They came to Jesus and said, Master, this woman had seven brothers, seven husbands, I'm sorry. In the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? Jesus threw it on them. Jesus said, he didn't call them stupid. He said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For they will be neither married or given in marriages. They should be like the angels in the heavens. You see, these individuals, they all tried to trap him. Even when they caught the woman in adultery, Jesus was there. That influence. They came to him and said, Master, we caught her. Moses' law says she should be stoned to death. What do you think? I guess Jesus was stooping and writing in the sand. And Jesus stood up and Jesus said, he who without sin, let him be the first to throw a rock at her. You see, Jesus knew, okay, you caught the woman, but where is the man? Where is he at? Is that just for the women? Where is this man? So in other words, the man could do whatever he wanted to do. And Jesus knew that. And they left from the eldest to the oldest. You see, Jesus knew their heart before they even knew what they wanted to say. Jesus influenced these people by the things that he did, the miracles that he performed, the blind that received their sight, the lame walked, the lepers were cleansed, and the deaf received their sight. Jesus even raised the dead, Lazarus. That was a great influence. And you know, those people standing there, Sadducees and Pharisees, they still didn't believe it, because they don't believe in that supernatural stuff. They don't even believe in the resurrection. But seeing is believing, isn't it? If I were to fall out and God levitated me, what do you say? Do you believe that? Or would you believe that? If you saw it, of course you would. That's the influence that Jesus had, not only on those people then, and the influence that he has on us today still exists. Jesus influenced us every day. Jesus provide for us every day. Jesus provide our needs because he loved us. Even when we're sick, even when we're hungry, even when we're down, Jesus would provide. But we have to love him. What's that? By searching the scriptures to find out how can we please God. How can we please him? How do we please God? Do we please him by doing for others? Do we please him by being here today, commemorating his death and resurrection? Is this pleasing to him? Is this how we please him? We please him also by keeping his will, doing his command, doing what his word says. Sometimes we don't seem to realize how powerful influence is or can be. Influence is very powerful. That's so powerful until sometimes our conduct leads individuals to go astray. That's how powerful influence is. It might lead a brother to go astray because some would come here in the congregation and be treated like leopards. Some would come here and they would treat them like they're nothing. Some would come here, not even speak. Some would come here to make others angry. Can you imagine you being angry here in church, in the Lord's house? What need are you here for? We're here to love one another. We're here to uplift one another. We're here to keep all we have here in this congregation. We don't want to drive no one away because how we feel, how we treat them. You might treat this one way and this one another way. Is that right? No, that's not right. Well, children of God, we should all be treated with love and the same. You know, a lot of times you get some people, ministers get up here and be calling out names of men. We didn't come here to hear nothing about no man. We're here to hear about Jesus Christ and God. What man got to do with anything? That man is a sinner, just like we all are. Preach more about God and Jesus and forget about man. Because man will deceive you. Man will lie to you. It says influence is something that we can't lose. We won't lose it. Just like I said, influence is like your soul. It claims to be closer to you sometimes than your skin. You can't get rid of it. It's there. It's riding with you. It's everywhere you go. It tells us about Saul. When Saul was on his way to Damascus, and God knocked him down, the power of God, was he influenced by that? Was he influenced by it? Yes, he was. Because he was the one that's going out here that's crucifying Christians, locking them up, killing them, putting them in jail. But God knocked him down and brought him to his senses. And Saul began to enter the synagogues and preaching Jesus Christ, the Savior. That's great. Knocked him down. What about Jesus? When Jesus came riding in on that ass, was that influential? Was it influencing the people? Were they influenced by that? This man here is Hosanna, the Son of God, coming in on that ass. Influence all the people. What they expected? They expected him to come in as a king, with men on the carrier, carrying him on their shoulders. That's what they expected. When Jesus came in, the humble way, the poor way. What he said in John chapter 2 and verse 15. He said, love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is loved the world is the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but of the world. You can also have that bad influence. When you leave the world, that influence will continue to live. What about Abel? You remember the story of Cain and Abel? That's happened how long ago? 6,000 years ago. And people are still talking about that today. In other words, that was the first worship and the first murder. God favored Abel because of his offering. What it said, for those who die in the Lord, their works do follow them. Their works follow them. Because God says, we're going to give an account of everything done in this body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We'll give an account of that. Those are our works. Those works that we do here will follow us. Whether it's in good works or bad works, it will follow us. How do we influence other people? We influence them how? Pure speech. You know, it's crazy to find Christians that use bad language and talk crazy and vulgar jokes and things of that nature. Pure in heart. Things that come out of your mouth should be pure in speech. We influence one another by the manner of life that we live. We can't be out here living any kind of way we like, going in places that we shouldn't go in, doing things that we shouldn't do. Because eyes are on you when you're out there. People see you. You might be in a store, and you're looking out of your peripheral vision, and you see somebody on the right side of you, left side of you, just staring. They're looking for you to do something you ain't got no business doing. Or buy something you ain't got no been to buy. You see, the eyes are on you. So like Chuck was saying this morning, you got to do right things at all times. Yeah. Not at night, but at all times. Influence and love. We have to love one another with a pure heart. Love one another like God loved you. He loves you so that he gave his only begotten son to die that cruel death on the cross for all of us. And in spirit. And in faith. And purity. Those things that we have to do. Yes. Because God loves you. And God will do whatever it takes to be true to you. What if company comes to your house and visits you, and thereby said to them that, why not you in church today? What are you doing at home on the first day of the week? What kind of show is that showing toward the church and Christians? You don't care nothing about the church. All you care about is sitting at home looking at wrestling and baseball and football and basketball. That put a terrible mark against the church, didn't it? By giving the church scraps of your time and talents and money, those things look bad as you being a Christian. Let's think about the salt of the earth. What is salt? Salt is a preservative. Salt is something we all like. If it's not there, we'll miss it. Won't you? If you don't have that salt, you'll miss it. So does a taste. It gives taste to whatever it touches. It's something we can't ignore. When it's present, you recognize it. When it's missing, you miss it. Just as a Christian is, he is positive and a positive force in the world. That's just like the light of the world. We are the light that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. That light you are. Do you feel that you are light? Do you feel that? You are the light of the world. And people look at you. People look at you, your neighbors. Your neighbors might not be a member or a Christian, but you better believe they're watching you. You leave your home on Sunday mornings going to church, Sunday nights going to church, Wednesday going to church. They're watching. They're checking you out. And one day, they might be curious and want to find out. Let me check this church out and see what's going on here. And they show up. And they'll tell you, say, I'm here because I noticed you over the years. The right things you've been doing. The wonderful things you've been doing. And I want to find out about it. I just want to say that we are children of God. And he loves us. He loves us very much. I know sometimes we don't think about it. Sometimes we might be doing these things haphazardly, ritualistically, as a ritual. Is it in your heart? God knows your heart. Sometimes you say, hey, you can fool me, but you can't fool God. I can't do nothing for you. Maybe talk about you. But God can save your soul. God can put you either in heaven or hell. Remember, God loves us. Maybe there's someone out there this morning who's not a Christian who wants to put on Christ. You have that opportunity to do so this morning. And maybe there's someone who wants to come up and confess that they've gotten on the wrong track. They want to make it right. Get back in the grace of God again. And you also have that opportunity. I mean, I'm saying it's easy. A lot of times, there are steps that you have to take to be a Christian. You can't be a Christian without these steps. You just heard the gospel, Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You believe what you've heard. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then you repent of your sins, Acts 17:30. And this time of ignorance, God winked at and commanded all men everywhere to repent. Then you confess that wonderful name, Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father which is in heaven. And then you're baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For that promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Those are the steps to salvation. It's not difficult. Please come while we stand and sing our invitation song.